God, there is no adjective to describe who God, what God is like. He's bigger than our biggest words. He's grander than our grandest concepts. We cannot fathom the greatness of God. Huffington Post, and I've started looking at that once in a while because they seem to be really up to date on stuff. They mentioned that the most overused word today is the word awesome. You go from, I have awesome grandkids, to my dog is awesome, my hamburger was awesome, and God is awesome. And we just take this one word and we just throw it out there for everything. It is the most overused word in the English language, is the word awesome. So I checked up the definition for awesome. And one definition is causing feelings of fear and wonder. That is why this morning we sang, our God is what? An awesome God. An awesome, one full of awe. So very quickly, we are limited with time this morning. Romans 11, three facts about God from verse 33. Number one, and by the way, the outline, is, if you happen to have a bulletin, the outline is actually in your bulletin. You can follow right along. You only have to write out the outline. Number one, He knows everything there is to know. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He starts with, oh. There's this emotional expression when it comes to realize the vastness of God. Oh, the depth. Depth describes the enormous distance below a surface. You know, I think of the ocean depths. But do you know that the deepest part of the ocean is only 7 miles? The ocean isn't that deep. We think it's deep. To me, anything 6 feet is deep because I can't swim. Put me in 6 feet of water and I will cry out, oh, the depths of the water. It's too much. Too much. But when it comes to the riches, the wisdom, and the knowledge, oh, the depths. That's why Scott led us a song this morning. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, and free. That's our God. His knowledge is beyond comprehension. As someone has said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God never says, wow, something just occurred to me. It never does. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Knowledge is awareness of facts. But wisdom is the awareness how to use those facts to the goals and the glory of God. He knows everything there is to know. Secondly, He makes plans we don't understand. It says here how unsearchable His judgments. The word unsearchable means beyond human understanding. The word judgments mean His decisions, His verdicts. If God would explain His ways to us, we wouldn't be able to comprehend it. We cannot understand His verdicts. His decisions, His choices. Job 5:9, He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed. Can't be fathomed. I like what John Wesley said. He said, show me a worm that fully comprehends a man, and I'll show you a man who comprehends God. You can't comprehend God. His ways are beyond, His plans are beyond understanding. And then thirdly, the last part of verse 33, and His paths beyond tracing out. He alone knows why everything happens. We just prayed for two needs. Do you know why they're happening? None of us know why things are happening when they happen. They are beyond our understanding. He alone knows why everything. His paths are beyond tracing. Anybody here remember the TV show Man Tracker? Watched some of that in the past? And I used to watch it when I could. He's on a horse. He's got a sidekick on a horse. And they're supposed to find these two people that are their prey. They're supposed to find them before those two people can sneak their way to some point of designation, which is usually some 40 or 50 kilometers away. And they have, I think, about 3 days to try to catch them, or 3 days for these two people to reach their destination. In fact, our son, who's a pastor in Ontario, one of the people in his church is a younger, avid hunter. He was one of the guys that actually made it. And he out-tracked Man Tracker and got his destination before he got found. But I was reading online that his success rate is about 70%. 70% track record of tracing people out and catching them before they get to their destination. There is not one person who's a God tracker. No one can track his ways. It is beyond comprehension and understanding. Where's God going with our lives? What will happen? Anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. We cannot trace his paths, what God is up to. He's way beyond understanding or finding out. And yet I like what someone said, God may conceal the purpose of his ways, but his ways are not without purpose. That's our God. This is the God we're praying to. He knows everything there is to know. He makes plans we don't understand. He alone knows why everything happens. That's why we put our trust in him. He's the only one who knows. So those are three facts about God. Now, three things no one can do. Number one, no one can explain God. Verse 34, the first part. Who has known the mind of the Lord? We all have our opinions, but nobody knows the facts of God. We only know what he has chosen to reveal himself for us to know. You've heard the story often about these six blind men who are feeling this thing. And the first one feels the tusk of an animal, and he says, and it was an elephant, and he gets a hold of the tusk and says, oh, an elephant is like a sharp spear. And the next one touches the vast side of the elephant and says, oh, an elephant is like a wall. Or the third man touches his wriggling trunk and he says, oh, an elephant's like a snake. The fourth one wraps his arms around one of the legs and he says, I know what an elephant is, it's like a tree. Another one feels his big, huge ears. And says, I know what an elephant looks like. It's like a fan. And the last one touches the narrow rope, the narrow tail of the elephant, and says, I know what an elephant's like. It's like a rope. Well, who's right? Well, everyone's right, but everyone's wrong. It is so inadequate trying to describe. And here we are trying to describe a God we've never seen. And there's a lot of people who think they sort of have God figured out, or what God should be like, whatever. Without God revealing anything about himself, no one can explain God. Reminds me of a college student who was ill-prepared for his economic exam just at Christmas time. And in desperation, as he sees his... gets the exam, and he just wasn't well prepared. He just couldn't answer it. So in desperation, he writes down, only God knows the answers to these questions. Merry Christmas. And he hands it to the prof. A week and a half later, he's back in class, and the results come back, and he looks at the paper that he had handed in, and the prof had written, God gets 100, you get 0, Happy New Year. Well, God gets 100. And we, well, we get 0. We cannot explain God. Secondly, no one can counsel God. Middle of verse 34. Who has been His counselor? Or like Eugene Peter translated, is there anyone smart enough to tell Him what to do? I remember my high school days, going to our guidance counselor. You know, you're supposed to look at your marks and your test scores and sort of interview you, find out what your interests are so he can help you decide which track. At that time, in the early 70s, there was 3 tracks I could take in high school. I didn't know which one to take. And so sitting down with him, trying to get some guidance from him, I kind of came away a bit frustrated because I didn't think he'd been a lot of help to me. But think about God, the kind of counselor God is. The information, how He knows us. No one has to counsel Him to understand our ways and our needs. And also another thing we can't do. No one can accuse God of unfairness. Look at verse 35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? No one has done anything to make God feel obligated now to do something back to you. We can't give to God anything that isn't already His. God doesn't owe me anything. I owe Him. No one can say, I've earned your favor, now you owe me. Anything on this side of hell is mercy. Anything on this side of heaven is grace. God is not obligated for anything. If we could summarize actually the book of Romans, we could, might say, God saves those He is under no obligation to save. And He's never unfair. I like what, talk about giving. Who can give to God so that He'll repay? These words from King David in 1 Chronicles 29:14. Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. We have given you only what comes from your hand. There are some folks in this fellowship, in our community, that are giving sacrificially to the project we're doing. But you know what? It doesn't obligate God not to do something special. We've only given what He's already given to us. So God is never unfair in what He gives to us and what He does. So 3 things no one can do. You can't explain God. You can't counsel God. You can't accuse God of being unfair. Well, that then gives us 3 reasons to praise God. It's like Paul can't contain himself any longer. And he says in verse 36, for from Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. How else can you explain your relationship with God? Are there any secret Beatle fans from the 60s and the 70s? The Beatles broke up in April of 1970. The year I graduated from high school is when the Beatles broke up as their original 4. Does anybody here know what the last song is they recorded before they broke up? I, Me, Mine. That's the last song they recorded. I, Me, Mine. What does the Bible say? From Him, through Him, to Him be all things. In other words, number 1, He is the source of all things, for from Him. Abraham Kuyper, who used to be the Prime Minister of the Netherlands back in the early 1900s, and he was also a theologian. Can you imagine a politician also being a theologian. Well, Abraham Kuyper was, and I read some of his works when I was in seminary, and I really think highly of Abraham Kuyper. This is what he wrote. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." Mine. For from Him are all things. Secondly, He is the sustainer of all things. It says, and through Him, from Him and through Him. God is the filter through which everything that happens to me happens. That leaves me with a lot of things to be explained. But I have to just look at the Word and say, from Him, through Him. George Washington Carver had a talk with God one day. He went down a country road and the cotton industry was in trouble. One day he's walking, he's sort of an agricultural scientist inventor. He's walking down a country road one day and says, God, show me the mysteries of the universe. And he had a really close walk with God. As if God said to him, that's far too big for you. So as he keeps going on, he says, well, Lord, show me at least the mysteries of our earth. I'm just so intrigued about our earth. And it's as if God said to him, it's far too big for you. So he keeps walking along, and as his eyes are sort of looking at the road, and he's looking at the field he's walking by, and he notices some peanuts there, the peanut plant, and he stops, and he prays, God, show me the mysteries of the peanut. And it's like at that moment, God spoke to him, and he says God spoke to him, and God revealed to him the mysteries of the peanut. And he came up with 255 ways to use the peanut. If it wasn't for George Washington Carver, you and I would not have peanut butter at 10 o'clock every night before going to bed. And it all happened because as he sought God, God revealed to him the mysteries of the peanut. From Him, through Him, are all things. And then lastly, and to Him. From Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. He is the supreme purpose for everything that I have and everything that I do. Recently, somebody asked them what they had any, what are some of the things you think about as you think about life? And he's a believer, and I may have had this conversation 2 weeks ago. And he said, well, you know what really complains? What complains me that we don't give people credit for stuff we do around here. It's like we always just give God credit, but we never credit people. I hope you're in church on when I speak on Romans. Because you know what it says? To Him be the glory. We don't give people glory. To Him be all glory forever. Amen. That's what Romans says. Folks, this is the God we're praying to. This is the one with whom we have a relationship. This is the one when we see cancer, we come say, Lord, only you understand our ways. This is the one who, when we see family make decisions, we cry out to God and say, God, only you can do this. As we're preparing for the summit on prayer, it is important that we know the kind of God we're praying to. Let me, in closing, say here are three so what's. Here's the application of this text. Number one, when faced with a decision, or when evaluating a behavior, ask yourself this question. Can I do this for the glory of God? Every prayer we pray, every thought we think, every action we take, every attitude we express, does it reveal the supremacy of God in our lives, in our ways, in our thoughts? I love John Piper's statement, quote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Is God glorified through how I'm satisfied? Do people see me satisfied in God? Is God being glorified through my actions and my reactions in life? Secondly, the greater our view of God, the greater strength we'll have to face the trials of life. The bigness of God should put our problems in perspective. Instead of a questioning or accusing God, we ought to adore and praise God for His mercies in the midst of every mystery we are going through. And then lastly, God has a complete, intimate plan for your life. And I close with this illustration of that. Olin Hendricks loved to take trips to South Africa, but his wife didn't like to come. Her idea of slumming was to go to at least Holiday Express. To her, that was slumming. Going to Africa, going down trails, no, not interested. So he often used to go alone. One day he's finally able to convince her. He said, look, I will bring you to a place, and when you see that place, you will say, you know what, this trip was worth it. I'm glad I actually hiked through these trails and got bitten by mosquitoes, because when I came here, I'm going, it was worth it. He took her to South Africa, to the Zambia border, where the Victoria Falls are. He thought, I just want her to see the statue of David Livingstone. It's an awesome sight. So they're trekking through. They get to this place. They come round the bend. And Olin Hendricks is all excited. He's waiting to get around that bend where she's going to see the statue of David Livingstone standing like this, overlooking the landscape with the Victoria Falls in the background. And as they come around the bend and they see this awesome, there's the word awesome, that awesome sight. He goes, there, do you see it? She stands there looking for a while, quiet. Finally he says, what are you thinking? Of course, there's a statue of David Livingstone looking the landscape, South Africa. She says, I feel just like him. I've had it right up to here. Oh, not what he expected. Friends, when God looks at our lives, He doesn't look as if I've had it right up to here with you folks. He looks like this, and He sees the landscape of your life. He knows it all. He knows it all. And God's saying, there, don't you see it? Don't you see it? Can't you see I know everything about you? Can't you see I can see way beyond what you're seeing? Can't you see that I understand your ways? Don't you realize I know your heartache? I see it all. I see it all. Let's stand for closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we've been reminded of the awesomeness of who You are, forgive us for having such a questionable attitude or spirit about You. your ways, your judgments, the attributes. This morning again, we yield ourselves afresh to the awakening of who you are, your greatness, and we say, our God is an awesome God. He reigns with wisdom and with power. Our God is an awesome God. As we face another week, as we face situations moment by moment, we commit ourselves to looking up and saying, God, you know, you know. And I'm glad I know you. I don't understand you. I don't know all your ways, but I trust you. I trust your greatness. I trust your judgments. I trust your ways. I trust your mercies. And I trust in your love for me, my loved ones, and all I committed to your care. Go before us this week. Help us. Help us, Father, to trust and lean in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.